Hello and welcome to College Football Today Radio. This is Coach Trout here, aka Scout Trout. By the way, I named it that because it rhymes, not because I actually am a scouting department or agency or anything like that. I'm a football person, football guru, football expert, football coach, former football player not that long ago. I can still ball, I can still suit up. You know, I've seen a lot of stuff going around the internet, you know, a lot of stuff both ways on what I'm saying, but then it contradicts, you know, in the same post what they're saying, what I'm saying. That's the problem with football in, like, our society today. Everybody, like, will say something valid and then in the same paragraph, like, just totally ruin their valid point. But anyway, I want to give a shout out to Grambling State staff. I've been following a lot of things. They actually got a kid to decommit from Alabama this past year, a quarterback. I'm going to go more in depth on Grambling football and do a preview on them. I respect their coaching staff, you know, mainly because the program kind of went into a defunct time when, you know, with finances and state funding and like all this other stuff, you know, extracurricular activity. Which they didn't need, you know, and then for them coaches to be able to bounce back and win the SWAC like they did. And I was at the Bayou Classic, you know, to win that game in the fashion they did. You can listen to that radio show on College Football Today Radio. I was live in New Orleans. Probably won't be back there anytime soon. And then I I'm extremely excited about our new top 300 on College Football Today. It's an interactive platform. You can do a lot of different things on it. Maddie can tell you a little bit more about it. She's here. But it's a you chime in if you want to anytime. It's the same Scout Trout rankings, but we're gonna do it with a little more flash, and then we're eventually taking the Scout Trout rankings off of Scout Trout. And just going to have them on College Football Today. And
they're interactive.
Yeah, I said that. They're interactive, which means you can click and move stuff around and sort by position. We're going to have all the positions up and ready here shortly. But this preview that we just finished was on Clemson. Maddie Sperling actually wrote this one. I wrote the one the night before on Boulder. I think this is enough radio show time, about 30 minutes here. I got about 27 minutes left to talk about both previews. I'm not really going to get into the football aspect this year. You can read about that on the articles. You know, I really like Colorado's team this year. I think they brought in a lot of talent, and this justifies, you know, their ranking in our top 25 at number 19, which a lot of people have said is way too high, you know, but seeing the leadership in the older kids that are coming back and the captains they named, and then the transfer running back from Virginia Tech for his fifth grad transfer year, I knew that rule was going to change things in today's game. You know, you can really plug guys in last minute that played 4 years at a big-time program that are granted that, you know, graduate transfer season. So playing, you know, a fifth year in college and getting to pick where you play it is always fun. Obviously, McMillan picked Colorado to come for his fifth year. He was coached under Zon Burden, running backs coach at Virginia Tech, who obviously knows talent after offering the number one running back in the country, according to collegefootballtoday.org, DeMarque Foster. We got some more running backs in the stable bit coming up. Charles Palmer came in today, my inbox, very talented running back. His huddle is locked. We're explaining the process on how to go through that to get your huddle unlocked. If your coach decides to lock it, you have to buy the link. It'll probably cost you, I think it's like 7 to 12 bucks, I forget, depending on what you're doing with it. Download it to your computer and then upload it to YouTube. If you need help with that or want your video on Scout Trout YouTube channel, which is starting to pick up, please email it to me or download the link. And then you'll have the link, and then you can share that or whatever. But also, we want it on YouTube. It's easier to put on the website. It's easier to share around. A lot of coaches are using YouTube today. So back to a little bit about but anyway, he's a 5'8", 205-pound bull, wrecking ball, bench presses 300 pounds 10 times, rushed for 250 yards and 3 touchdowns in a game last year in Texas, had almost 1,000 yards rushing for the season, over almost 100 yards per game through 8 games in his first time getting to tote the rock, on a losing team too, a 2-8 team. So it's very impressive. Big outlook this year for Charles Palmer out of Red Oaks High School in Texas. That's going to be a kid to watch. We are known for finding these just outstanding running backs, because, I mean, we find players outstanding at every position, but the running backs we have are special. I played running back after converting from quarterback. Running backs set the tone. You know, they set the tone of the offense. They set the tone of the game. They set the tone for everything that's going to happen, you know, offensively. You know, if you just the first carry of the game, just go up in there like a little wimp and get tackled for a 2-yard loss and stop your feet and, yeah, nobody blocked, blah, 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 that ain't setting the tone. You know, I don't care if it's a 1-yard, 0-yard gain. You lower your shoulder and go up in there and tell them you mean business. And then, you know, it's going to soften up the defense. And once you can just keep softening them up, you're going to break that one. Even if your quarterback sucks, like he did in my college, you know, we ran about 25, 30 times a game at Grayston because we had to. You know, I was a power back, rushed for 3-4 yards, 5 yards a carry, 3-4, 5 yards a carry. Well, guess that moves the chains. Now you're winning ball games. You're opening up more passing opportunities for your quarterback to make plays. He threw the ball a lot to me in the flat coming. I'd move up into a fullback, H-back position. And actually, the big-time quarterback who came in from Oregon, who was an elite 11 QB or whatever there, did terrible. He was just, wanted to throw the ball shotgun, wanted to do this. I mean, we didn't have that type of offense. We went with a smaller quarterback, Rory, JUCO transfer, like myself, coming out there. And then he ended up, moving the ball effectively because we used me ground and pound. And he was a better play action quarterback and could get on the edge and find me in the flat, find receivers downfield. So that strategy works if you have that good power back. That's why I really value power runners. I also value the shake and bake too, but that's what I seen in DeMarc Way. He was a bit of both. That's why I said he was AI and LaDainian Tomlinson at the same time. Because it really was such a contrasting style of running that I had to, reach, for that to see, to really find two players that I had to use two players to describe his, spectacular style of running. So as a quarterback or a fullback, playing in college and playing in high school and playing at a high level, those type of players work out for you, because if you're playing fullback and you're blocking for a guy like Foster, they're keying on him. They're keying on you to come blow up that defensive end on power, go blow up the middle linebacker on ISO. So they're keying on you. They're keying on him to get the ball. Well, you come flying up there, blow that defensive end's head off a few times, blow that, inside linebacker up. Guess what's going to happen? He's going to be thinking it's coming. He's going to be trying all these moves. He's going to be coming for their back. Everybody's going to be collapsing. You sneak out into the flat, you're wide open. So sell your blocks, even when you're not blocking, even when you're sell everything. It's going to open you up down the road to catch a touchdown pass when everybody's stacked up in the box thinking DeMarc Way Foster is going to leap over the top of the defense again. They fake it to him. He leaps. All of a sudden, you sneak out into the flat, touchdown. And then you get some glitz and glamour, even though when we watch film, we know that you're creating that opportunity for a Foster, for, a Stanton, for those guys. So football is a team sport. It takes a unit to operate. We have some great coaches that we found in the high school level. And we just did a Nick Saban, Dabo Swinney comparison. And we want to look at that a little more. I'm going to talk a little bit more about how they compare, how they, you know, they're a little different styles. Like Nick Saban's a little more, you know, stern.
Win at all costs.
Win at all costs type of guy. But at the same time, I listened to a ESPN article he did that was more about, like, he's just about discipline. He believes discipline is lost in college football. And, you know, I believe it's just lost, you know, as a whole in society. And he's not talking about, like, you know, hardcore discipline, like, you know, players dropping and stuff like that, like happened in Oregon. You know, he's talking about waking up at 6 a.m., going to where you're supposed to be, being on time, being accountable. A lot of the same philosophies we see in Kirk Ferentz, we see in a Scott Frost, making his players accountable and holding them to a higher standard. That's what I like about Big Ten football coaches this year. They all seem to be on that same page, that same, you know, philosophy. But that's what I've always loved about these two winning coaches as well. The way they bring it is a Chuck Knoll, Jackie Sherrill mentality, which is knowing to win. So the Pittsburgh tradition has really spread throughout winners. And that's what's really nice about seeing how it happened, seeing the history and knowing the history of football and where it's come from and where it's evolved and the people who have pushed it forward all come out of the same places. And that's what's really cool about it, because, like, just being connected to a lot of these guys in a way, just through my father, through being a fan, through being a coach, through being a player, through everything that I've done in football, and just getting to realize, you know, this is what it takes, and this is what I've been preaching to our athletes, and it's why they're successful at the next level, whatever level they play at. NAIA, you know, D2, 1AA, FBS, you know. The FBS is set a certain way, guys. Not everybody's going to play FBS football. It's about media coverage. It's about hype. It's about how good you are, too. You gotta be a baller. But there's a lot of other stuff, man. Like, they want jersey sales. They want guys that are going to, you know, win them a national championship, but also, you know,
sell them. Get them featured on ESPN.
Get them featured on ESPN. Exactly. Get, you know, they want,
they want publicity.
Because I said it in an article not that long or yesterday, I think. All publicity, all press is good press. That's the way they look at it. Spreading the brand, spreading in a, you know, and now I don't believe that nowadays, the way I look at press, I don't believe it's all good. I don't believe, you know, domestic violence cases and stuff like that. Like, I keep researching college football teams and keep seeing this stuff pop up one after another. Now, I haven't witnessed much of that out of these, you know, coaching staffs that Saban and Sweeney run. And there's a reason why. I'm going to read you a little excerpt from this. Dabo Swinney's coaching philosophy, written by Maddie Sperling, president Scott Trout in College Football Today. Over the last three seasons, the Clemson Tigers are 40-4, with two of those wins coming in the playoffs. Over the course of the program's ascendancy, Dabo Swinney has earned a reputable title for himself as an elite head coach and has often been compared to Nick Saban as a dominating powerhouse in the world of collegiate football. Many athletes, coaches, and
many athletes, coaches, and
competition, or even their predecessors. Swinney's a reverent Christian, seems to appreciate the comparison. She was saying many athletes don't like being compared to their competition and stuff like that, as it indicates to him that he's doing something right. Despite the growing rivalry between their two programs, both coaches appear to have the utmost respect for one another. So, Coach Swinney, you know, a lot of people don't like being compared to other athletes. This or that, like Michael Jordan don't like being compared to Kobe, blah, 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 blah. He enjoys it, you know, like he looks up to Coach Saban. You know, winners look up to winners. I mean, that's just how it is. And that's kind of how I have been. And once I started living that way and studying the best, it's easy to realize why they have gotten where they are and why we should want to use the same, you know, tactics, the same methods, the same philosophies in our daily routine, in our daily process, which she gets into a little more here. And I'll link some of my articles. The Swinney Saving Coaching Foundations. Reading and listening to how these two coaches define their processes, I have noticed some important parallels between their leadership philosophies. According to Swinney, the culture he has instilled in the Clemson program is driven by the why of what he, his staff, and his athletes do, not just how they do it, but why. As such, his leadership style is highly focused on intent and purpose. I would also like to say integrity. That's one of the big things that Dabo Swinney preaches to his athletes, which goes back to defining your process and doing the same thing every day, being accountable for yourself first. And it also goes back to my article I did on, you know, how to be a successful team, student athlete, all that. It's about building. It's about building individuals to be a great team. But similarity in a recent speech given at camp at Alabama. Similarly, in a recent speech given at camp in Alabama, Coach Saban emphasized the importance of choice to the young athletes in attendance. Much like Swinney's philosophy of why, Saban aims to instill conscientious action and decision making in his student athletes while working for a publication that also covers college football prospects. I have found these lessons are likely the most imperative in guiding young athletes. Half of the submissions we received from high school athletes requesting help in the recruiting process show a disturbing lack of purpose and sincerity, and it's clear that the recruiter has yet to ask themselves why they want to play college football, and have also seen this pattern. I have also seen this pattern of haphazardness in top-rated 4 or 5-star recruits. I'm not saying it's wrong or condemnable for an 18-year-old to not have a meticulous life strategy, but it is imperative for rising college football players, FBS or otherwise, to reflect on the whys. You know, I go into like a lot of the whys I see that shouldn't be. You know, you're chasing cars, money, girls, fame, fortune, all that stuff. If that's your why you're playing football, then you're not going to, you know, it's not going to last real long. I've seen it over and over and over. The guys that love the game, the guys that know the game of football, the guys that know why they're playing the game of football, the guys that have a reason, like a Kelly Bryant, he has a why on why he's playing. That kid's just a phenomenal quarterback, a phenomenal young man to be able to go through and play through Crohn's disease on some of the obstacles he's had to go through and being bedridden his junior year, heading into his senior year after a crazy great season, and then coming back and being able to do better than that, you know, his junior year shows a lot of resiliency, shows a lot of character, shows a lot of I can, I will, you know, all that great stuff that you hear shouted on these commercials by Under Armour. You know, it's just interesting. And she goes into four questions here, you know, but everybody has different, you know, whys. But why do you want to play college football? Why did you choose to play college football in the beginning? And why is it still a big part of your life? Why do you want to play in college and not in a minor professional league, like semi-pro?
Yeah, I mean, why did you, football is so important to you. Why are you choosing college rather than, a lot of kids can have the option to just skip over the college process.
And semi-pro, you only got to be 18. Some arena teams will even take 18, and then like Canada too, CFL is only 18. So why did you choose to go to college instead of just keep playing elsewhere? And then why did you pick the school you play for? There's a lot of hometown pride, a lot of state pride in college football. That could be a reason. You know, Brian obviously picked Clemson because he knew the tradition there. He knew what kind of coach and man Coach Swinney was. And his brother, Martavius Bryant, played there, who was a Pittsburgh Steeler, or who still is a Pittsburgh Steeler, and one heck of a wide receiver. So these questions are so important in the recruiting process and in the regular realm of college football, because when a young player's motivations are driven one-dimensionally, they're setting themselves up to make destructive choices and even subconsciously sabotage themselves on the field. That goes for just people in regular life too, guys. So
you hate the job you're in, you're subconsciously sabotage yourself.
Well, also, like, when you pick your degree, when you pick these things, pick something you're going to be interested in. Don't, like, pick just because there's a lot of jobs in this industry, or you're going to make more money doing this or doing that. You'll make more money in whatever you're happy doing in the end, trust me. The parallels in leadership between these two powerhouse programs demonstrate why they are where they are and why there will be no shortage of competitive Clemson-Alabama matchups in future college football playoffs, as long as they continue to reinstall these core values in these young men. Very good, very good. And so their philosophies go back to a lot of, like I said, the Ferentz, you know, philosophy on building, all these things. Obviously, these guys haven't been there as long as a Kirk Ferentz has, but they've also been super successful when it comes to building two highly successful football programs at a very quick rate and, you know, sustainable rate. Clemson's motto last year was we too deep. You know, they put a lot of emphasis on being deep, having players that are replaceable, not that they're replaceable in a sense as an individual, but they're replaceable in a sense as a team, because they built another guy up, you know, or recruited another guy that's just as good. But they do value that, you know, seniority at Clemson. They believe in experience and stuff like that. You know, there's been a lot of hype in the .9999999999 quarterback on 247 and five-star guy Taylor Lawrence. I like him. I think he's got a good release. I think he played with a great team in high school. Was able to achieve two state championships. Very impressive. He's 52-2, so he's a winner. About 1,400 yards, almost passing, 161 touchdowns. You know, broke several Georgia State records, which were set by, you know, former Tiger great Deshaun Watson, who, you know, now is a Houston Texan, looking really good in the NFL. So there could be some great things coming from this young man. You know, the biggest change for him is going to be the speed of college football. Everybody now is fast. Everybody can play. Everybody's been coached up and taught well for the most part. And, you know, he's just going to have to make quick decisions. That being said, Kelly Bryant, I think he is going to overcome another QB battle this offseason because of everything he's overcome already with Crohn's disease. His story is below this section I'm reading on collegefootballtoday.org. I really think that he's going to be a effective dual threat quarterback like he was last year that took, you know, Clemson all the way to the national championship. That being said, again, there's tons of teams in college football that are using two quarterbacks these days. So, I mean, it is a good change of pace. It's nice to have two guys. It's nice to have two different guys. One guy is known as a pocket deep passer. Really throws nice touch balls, really throws good on the run, really, you know, can move around the pocket well. The other guy's known as a, you know, dual threat presence, that can really, you know, get out and, you know, get yards downfield. It's going to be interesting to see who plays first, who plays more, but I think they're both going to play this season. I think they're both going to be effective, which is scary for Kyle Shippa, because then, you know, it's like the Cordell Stewart situation. You got a game plan for two different concepts, two different style of offenses, you know, different packages, different stuff like that. So if Clemson can keep people guessing, it's going to be a big year. You know, Brent Venables has the world of a defensive line as far as defensive line goes, all world. To coach, and you know, he usually does a decent job on the defensive side of the ball, but you know, Clemson's known for scoring a lot of points, you know, and really, you know, lighting up the scoreboard in them flashy orange uniforms. So I want to thank Maddie. She did a great job on this article for collegefootballtoday.org. We're moving to the top 300. It's going to be over on collegefootballtoday.org. It's already there. If you haven't noticed, there's a fan vote on the FCS, FBS, D2, NAIA rankings. We're going to be listing players to watch this year at those levels on College Football Today. Very excited about that. Maddie, you got anything you want to say?
No.
Maddie is good. She's busy over there researching, finding all great bunch of great information for us to write about. You want to check out the Boulder article on CU, the Buffaloes RIP, Rashan Salaam, one of my favorite players growing up, Heisman Trophy winner, was all completely justified winning the Heisman Trophy. Broke NCAA 2,000-yard rusher at Boulder, Cordell Stewart in 1994 with the Miracle at Michigan. Boulder's got a good chance this year. I think, if they can keep off the field issues at a minimum, and make the right life choices. They look like they got a good core nucleus of seniors who will help the underclassmen do that. Their coaching staff hopefully can do that as well as, Colorado was on track to do some great things and kind of had some road bumps, roadblocks, bumps in the road, whatever you want to call it, due to off the field activity of a coach. So everybody's got to hold themselves accountable in programs. It's not just the players, it's the administration, it's the head coach, it's the assistant coaches, it's the GAs, it's the water boy, it's the trainers. Everybody, even fans, should hold themselves accountable if they want a winning program. So that being said, let's enjoy college football this season. We're in Boulder. Check out our College Football Today vintage shop. We have Rocky Mountain Showdown t-shirts. We got Colorado State stuff. We got Boulder stuff. We got Ole Miss probation hats with the asterisk. We got it all. Check it out. And good luck this season to everybody. Keep grinding. And if you need anything, holler.